නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ For the Sutta teaching session, we were discussing Dvaitanupassana Sutta, contemplation of dyads. So basically, here Buddha himself is taking the title, taking the theme to discuss with the monks. Basically, he was dwelling at Migaramatupasada. That is where the Visakha has built this monastery, again in the Savatthi. And during that time, Buddha was dwelling there with the monks. And on that particular day, it's a full moon Poya day, and all were living outside. And during the sun, during this moon time, night time, actually they have, Buddha has noticed that the monks are quite quiet and silent, and basically on their proper practice. And so that is a kind of an encouragement for the Buddha. So now he is delivering a very interesting and deep Dhamma. So that is highlighted in this Dvaitanupassana Sutta. So this is available in the Suttanipata Mahavagga. And basically the idea here is Buddha is asking from monks, in case if some other ascetics are asking, now you are following the path, you are following the Dhamma, you are learning the Dhamma, and what is your aim? So then Buddha say, now you can answer in many different ways. So here in this sutta, there are 16 ways it is summarized. And so Buddha say, so there are these dualities, these dyads. To understand these two contemplations, actually we are following the Dhamma. We are learning the teaching and we are continuing our practice, so that we can learn these two things, two contemplations. So that is the thorough contemplation. And basically we can see that these two sides are very much aligned with the mundane and the supramundane side. Mundane is where you are currently maybe experiencing certain amount of suffering. On the other hand, if you are able to overcome that in a proper manner, and then it may lead you to a supramundane, or at least closer to the supramundane side. So the first dyad is based on the Four Noble Truths. And the first two truths, that is the truth of suffering and the cause of suffering, comes under the mundane side. And then the Nirodha Saccha, that is the cessation of suffering, and the path leading to the cessation of suffering, comes under the supramundane side. So that is two contemplations that Buddha first mentioned. So this is the aim. So this is the kind of understanding that we need to have, and that is the aim of the practice. So basically, to understand Four Noble Truths, and two truths are in the mundane side and the other two truths are in the supramundane side. So that is one answer. And then again, Buddha mentioned, if one is able to practice according to these two truths, or these two sides, or two contemplations, then there are very interesting, quite sublime results. So that is, basically, one can become a non-returner, or one can even become an arahant. So very much like the results are quite prominent. And here, for Four Noble Truths, so therefore Buddha summarized, if one is practicing like that, either final knowledge in this very life, or if there is a residue remaining, the state of non-returning. And similar pattern is actually repeated for other answers as well. Now Buddha repeats, now if someone is asking, is there any other goal, or is there any other objective, another aim of this practice, Buddha says, yes, there's another aim. So that is, two sides are mentioned as, whatever suffering originates is all conditioned by acquisitions, basically the upadis. So upadis are the cause of suffering. And then if one is able to abandon acquisitions, abandon the upadis, so that is where you are now prone towards the, or like lying towards the Supramundane side, the Nibbana, and that is the second side. So that is the second contemplation. And similar pattern here also mentioned, if one is able to follow these two sides, two contemplations, the results are very similar. One could attain the non-returning stage, or one can even become an arahant. Then the third answer. So if someone is asking, is there any other benefit, any other goal, any other aim of this practice? Buddha says, yes, you can answer like this. So that is with respect to the ignorance. Yankinja dukkhaṃ sambhavati sabbhaṃ avijjāpaccaya. So everything, all the suffering is based on the ignorance. And then avijjāyatveva asesa virāga nirodha natthi dukkhassa sambhavo. So if we are able to abandon, overcome ignorance totally, then there won't be any suffering. Simple as that. So this is the two contemplations. One is where you are in the mundane side. So if you are able to practice accordingly, then you can reflect the second side, the supramundane side, the supramundane type of contemplation. And there you are leading towards the supramundane achievement, non-returner or completely liberated arahant. Then today we can discuss the next answer given by the Buddha. Now again, if someone is asking, is there any other benefit or any other aim apart from what we have mentioned? Then again Buddha says, yes, you can answer like this also. Now there are many, many different answers here or aims Buddha has highlighted. There's a significant amount of overlap here anyway, but many different ways of looking at things. Now, yankinchi dukkhaṃ sambhavati sabbhaṃ saṅkhāra paccaya. So, saṅkhāras, the point is with respect to the saṅkhāras now. So, whatever suffering arises, that is because of the saṅkhāras, mental formations. Any different kind of formations. And on the other hand, the other side, saṅkhārānaṁ tveva asesa virāga nirodha natthi dukkhassa sambhavo. So if you are able to overcome all kinds of formations, then there is no any kind of suffering. So this is the second contemplation. So here also we can see two contemplations are there. One side is the suffering side, the mundane side. So if you are able to properly practice while being in the mundane side, you ultimately end up in the supramundane side. You may getting closer to Nibbana. You may getting quite satisfied or contented while you are being in the supramundane side. So what is this teaching here mentioned is quite interesting because it's completely relevant to the practice. Now saṅkhāras. Now what is saṅkhāras? So we will go through some other sources in order to understand the saṅkhāras. So there's an interesting discussion, a dialogue between Venerable Dhammadinna, the Arahant Bhikkhuni Dhammadinna, and the Upasaka, Lay Upasaka, Visakha. So you probably know this story where Visakha was a devoted person to the Buddha, and he often go to the temple, to the monastery, and listen to Dhamma, and ultimately he became a non-returner. Anagami. And after coming back home, he refused to involve with the typical sensual life, and he is asking his wife, the Dhammadinna, either to continue the life as a kind of celibate life, or else she, if she wants, she can even leave and marry someone else. And then she was wondering why this kind of a change has happened in him. And then she also was interested in following the Dhamma, and she immediately interested directly becoming a nun. So she is asking to take her to the nunnery. And by that time, the Bhikkhuni Sasana was available, and so she was given the ordination. And then she left a little far place and practice there, and without longer she returned to the same area. Now Visakha was doubtful why this has happened. Either one option is she has fully accomplished all the goals were achieved, as a result of that she has now returned. The other thing is, even though she was quite eagerly went forth, ultimately she found this is not going to work, so she was disappointed, and as a result of that, without being able to bear the situation, so she has quickly returned. So these are the two options possible. One is a success, the other one is a failure. So now Visakha was doubtful about the situation. Now he wants to check, he wants to verify. Now how he is verifying the attainment of Dhammadinna is through some very interesting and deep questions. Now here I have taken one question asked by Visakha from Venerable Dhammadinna. Kati pana ayye sankharati. So what is the noble lady, this sankharas? Now Venerable Dhammadinna is answering this question. Tayo me auso visakha sankhara. There are three types of sankharas: kaya sankharo, vachi sankharo, chitta sankharo. Now here the singular form is highlighted, kaya sankharo, bodily formation; vachi sankharo, the verbal formation; chitta sankharo, the say mental formation. The singular form is highlighted. And now Visakha is asking, what are they? Katamo panaye kaya sankharo, katamo vachi sankharo, katamo chitta sankharo. So what are they? So he needs further explanation now. Now Venerable Dhammadinna is explaining. Assasa passasa ko auso Visakha kaya sankharo. Now the in-breath and out-breath, the breathing process, is the very subtle form of kaya sankhara. So you know that all the bodily activities we conduct based upon breathing. So breathing has become the most vital component of our life. So we can't live without breathing. So breathing is one essential component in this life in order to maintain this body. Now that has recognized as the kaya sankhara. So that's a very minimum bodily process. We can say a bodily activity, that's the most minimum one. And it is also, we can do either voluntarily or involuntarily. So it's basically it is happening without our volition. And we can even breathe with the volition. And so this is the very basic fundamental bodily activity. And then the what is the verbal formation. So there she is mentioning vachi sankharo. Vitakka vichara vachi sankharo. Vitakka and vichara, the applied mind and the sustained mind. So whenever an object is there, so we have to apply our attention there, apply our mind there, and we have to maintain our attention there in order to recognize it. So these are the very basic mental activity. One kind of very basic mental activity, and that is the root of talking, that is the root of thinking. So here the thinking part. So thinking, ultimately we verbalize and ultimately we speak out. So it is mentioned that someone who has the power to read one's mind, so he can immediately track this vachi sankhara. So that is a very fundamental level of our wordings, fundamental level of our speech. So before we start speaking, we have to think. There's a very slight quick thinking going on. So for that quick thinking, vitakka and vichara, the applied mind and the sustained attention, is a must. So therefore, when we consider the speech, so this is the very fundamental part, component. So therefore, Venerable Dhammadinna mentioned, vitakka and vichara are the vachi sankharo. Then what is mano sankhara, or chitta sankhara actually? Sanya cha vedana cha chitta sankharo. Sanya and vedana, perceptions and the feelings. So these are the very fundamental mental activity. Sanyacha vedanacha cetasika ete dhamma citta patibadda tasma sanyacha vedanacha citta sankharoti. So whenever we need to even think, we have to have a certain amount of perception, certain amount of feeling. So that feeling and perception is the one motivating us even to think. So this is even before vachi sankhara, we can say. So this chitta sankhara is a very fundamental mental activity. So therefore, Venerable Dhammadinna is pointing out, so this is the chitta sankhara, the most fundamental mental activity. So here we can see a very subtle explanation about the sankharas. Actually, the same information is even explained by the Buddha in other places. I have taken this Chula Vedala as the example, but the same explanation Buddha also has given some at other suttas. And now we can say, even though we are talking here very fundamental, very basic formations, based upon them we do various other activities. There are various bodily activities. Say you are running, you are eating, you are driving. Many bodily activities are there. So all that becomes the kaya sankhara, various bodily activities. But most fundamental activity is the breathing, that is the chitta, the kaya sankharo. And then there are various speeches we may do, maybe singing, maybe doing some kind of recitation, or we may be speaking, talking, discussing. So those are all different kinds of verbal activities, and you may be even telling the truth, you may be even lying or gossiping, and all that also there. That means this comes as wholesome and unwholesome. Wholesome and unwholesome bodily activities. Now here we can talk about wholesome and unwholesome verbal activities. So that is also vachi sankhara. That actually vachi sankhara, that is the plural form. And the most fundamental one is the vitakka vichara. That is the very root of our speech. Then when we consider the thinking part, so we can think many different ways, either lustful thinking or maybe renunciative thinking, maybe hateful thinking or maybe loving thoughts, ill will, or maybe compassionate thoughts. So different kinds of thinking can happen, and many different faiths, ideas, many things are there. You can use your mind to think. So all that becomes the manosankhara. That's the larger group, more gross form of thinking. But the most fundamental one is the chitta sankhara, where vedana and sanya, the feelings and the perceptions. So this is the kind of the format that we need to keep in our mind. So there's a very ground level, fundamental level of sankharas, and on top of that there are more grosser level, bodily, verbal and mental activities. All are basically sankharas, and they can be recognized as the what we call wholesome and the unwholesome. Now if we go a little deeper now, Buddha gives another very interesting explanation about sankhara, the activity of the sankhara. What is the function of the sankhara? So this explanation is available in the Kajjaniya Sutta. Kincha bhikkhave sankhare vadeta. So why monks, it is called volitional formations. So why the definition is given? So what's the meaning? So there Buddha mentioned, Sankatang abhisankaronti iti ko bhikkhave tasma sankharoti ucchati. Sankatang abhisankaronti. So sankata, that means whatever the condition phenomena. So there are various condition phenomena, but the function of the sankharas is that it further construct it. Suppose that there is a condition phenomena, there are several condition phenomena, so the activity of sankhara is maybe to combine it, maybe to have another form of it, multiply it, subtract it. So many, many different kinds of manipulations, preparations, and that is the function of the sankhara. They construct the conditioned. So the conditioned phenomena is further constructed, further prepared, further fabricated. So that is the function of sankhara. Therefore, they are called volitional formations. And now Buddha give a further explanation. So why and what is the condition that they construct? What are the conditioned phenomena that they are constructing? And we know that conditioned phenomena are categorized into five groups. Those are the five aggregates. Rupa upadana kanda, vedana upadana kanda, sanya, sankhara, vinyana. So those five aggregates. And they are the ones actually further fabricate. So whenever there are forms available, so our mind tends to further fabricate upon it. Say for example, you are going to meet someone and you are searching that person and assume that you notice him or her. The moment you recognize him, say then the mind will start thinking about him or commenting about him, remembering about the past activities, or you may be imagining about the future activities. So likewise, so after we see, after we hear, after we smell, after we taste, so whatever the bodily sense that we take, once we recognize, so we can't simply keep it as it is, so we do the fabrications. We do additions, we do multiplications, so we do the formations. So that is actually triggered by this sankhara. So the function of the sankhara is to further fabricate the form, aggregate into a form. They construct conditioned form as form. Form is already conditioned. It is born out of, due to some reason, some cause. Now the function of the sankhara is further fabricated, further manipulated, further prepare it, maybe beautifying it. A kind of activity we are doing upon it, so that is because of the sankharas. And similar Buddha mentioned about the feelings. So there are feelings and we can't simply recognize feelings and then keep them aside. So what we do is, on top of feeling, we add so many things. We add our likes and dislikes. We put our own judgments. We put our own preconceived ideas onto it. And we claim these feelings as mine. Oh, I want to get rid of them. So likewise, so we do a lot of manipulations on top of feelings. So that is because of the function of the sankharas. So basically, we construct conditioned feeling as feeling. We are not merely leaving the feeling as a feeling. So on top of feeling, we do the fabrications. So this function is the function of the sankhara. Then sanyang sanyattaya sankatang abhisankaroti. There are various perceptions, maybe little signs appearing in our mind. Coming to the, say, mental space of the mind, and once it is risen there, so we can't simply leave it as it is, so we do a lot of fabrication onto these various marks, various signs, various perceptions. So we start promoting thinking, even proliferation, because we don't know how to keep sanya as it is. So the function of the formation, function of the sankharas is, whenever a perception appear, whenever a sign appear in the mind, so we do further conditioning, we do further constructing upon it. So that is because of the sankhara. Say for example, you remember a kind of an event which has happened several years ago. It's a little memory now appearing in your mind. But to that memory, you are attaching so many other likes and dislikes, maybe some present states, maybe some future imaginations, or whatever your preferences. And we you color that perception, what is already appeared, and now it has become huge. Maybe it has now become a person. That person has good and bad. That person has your own likes and dislikes. So likewise, there are relationships. Now you start thinking. But fundamentally what has happened is simply a perception has arisen. A mark or sign has arisen. But because of the influence of Sankhara, so we do a lot of fabrications. Then another interesting part is the fourth one. Sankhare Sankharattaya Sankatam Abhisankaranti. Even a formation, we do further formations. They construct conditioned volitional formations as volitional formations, further constructing. Say for example, there's a lustful thought arisen in the mind. So we can't simply keep it as it is. It may give a little bit of thrill, little bit of satisfaction, and you do kind of attempt to further think, attempt to enjoy, attempt to imagine, fabricate. Say there's a loving kindness thought arise in your mind. It is giving a little pleasing comfort. So we want to further think. We want to spread metta. So that's a fabrication. So we are sort of magnifying it. We are spreading metta. But what appeared at the very fundamental level is just a mental formation. So likewise, whenever a typical thought arises in the mind, so we do further fabrications. And so that becomes because of the function of sankharas. So even the sankharas are further fabricated, further prepared by the function of sankharas. And the last one is vijnanam vijnanatthaya sankatam abhisankaranti, where different kinds of knowings, cognitions. Whenever different cognitions happen, through the eye we cognize forms, through the ear we cognize sounds, through the nose we cognize smells, odors, through the tongue we cognize taste, and the body we cognize tangibles, and through the mind we cognize mental objects. But this very cognition, we can't simply keep it as it is. We add so many things, we color so many things into even to these cognitions. That is because of the sankharas. Now we can see the sankharas are playing a huge role here. So the mind is fairly in a functional, or we can say active form, because of the function of the sankharas. There is no rest to the mind. Even a subtle thought appear in the mind, we can't simply leave it as it is. We start commenting, we start maybe appreciating, or we start condemning, we start adding, weaving thoughts, and ultimately it can even become an emotion. So likewise, so all these fabrications, preparations are happening because of the sankharas. Now, another interesting sutta, Chetana Sutta or Sanchetaniya Sutta, the same term is referred in Anguttara Nikaya 4th, where four principles or four teachings are summarized. And there, Buddha give a further explanation about the sankharas. Where Buddha mentioned, Kāyeva bhikkave sati, kāya sanchetana hetu uppajjati ajjattan sukadukha. Now, because of our ignorance, we consider this body as a unit. Or we consider this as one thing. So we can't recognize it as a combination of many, many bodily parts, or is functioning because of many causes. Or we can't understand its function with respect to the elements. Rather, we misunderstand this body belongs to me, or this is I am, or this is myself. So this is the body. So when we consider body as a unit, or body belongs to me, or there's a relationship between the body and myself, so that means I have a body. I have a body to worry. So then internal and external pleasure and pain can arise. Similarly, Buddha mentioned even the words. We are talking, speaking, we are discussing, and maybe we are singing, or we are lying or gossiping, and all that we do, and we consider, so all that is mentioned by me. That is my speech. So that is my song. That is my recitation. That is my sermon. So whatever the way, so we start sort of having a relationship between what we said and what we are saying right now and what we are going to do, say, in the future. So there's a kind of possessive attitude towards the speech. So that means we consider the speech as myself or as a kind of something belongs to me. So as a result of that, with respect to that speech, so there are volitional formations arise. So we can think about it, we can worry about it, or we can appreciate it. We can even criticize it. So whatever the way, because we consider the speech belongs to me, the words belongs to me. And then maneva bhikkhave sati mano sanchetana hetu uppajjati acchattam sukha dukkha. So we consider this mind belongs to me. There are various mental formations. So since we claim this mind belongs to me, so now there's a significant responsibility. Now there are pleasures and pains. Now there Buddha summarizes, everything is based on the avijja. Everything is based on the ignorance. So this is, ignorance is actually the very fundamental condition to all these considerations, wrong considerations. Now further, Buddha mentioned, Samangva tam bhikkhave kaya saṅkhāraṁ abhisaṅkharunti yampaccayāsta taṁ uppajyati ajjattaṁ sukha dukkha. So you can prepare all that by yourself because of your own initiative, because of our own initiative. Similarly, parevāsta taṁ bhikkhave kaya saṅkhāraṁ abhisaṅkharunti. Someone else also can influence. That's another interesting part. So this all bodily formations are not merely my own initiatives. Probably someone else has requested me to do. Someone else has influenced me to do. So these are not difficult to understand. Say for example, so you didn't like to go on a kind of a trip. Say your friend is asking. So he or she is maybe influencing, pleading. So please join us. Please come to the class or please come to the trip. We are going on a pilgrimage or we are going on a holiday, vacation, whatever the thing. Now you also join. Now you also going on, maybe partying and this and that. Now all these bodily activities are influenced by someone else. Or you yourself is participating and you are also putting an application and you are also going partying and all that. It can happen because of your own initiative. So same thing is true not only for, say, bodily activities, even the verbal activities, mental activities. So all that is common. That means our bodily activities can happen because of someone's influence. Our speech can happen because of someone else's influence. We may start thinking because of someone else's influence. Say there's a trouble and someone is suggesting you, okay, why don't you think according to this information? So he is guiding, maybe giving a hint. So now I am thinking according to that hint. So my thinking is fairly conditioned or directed by someone else's opinion, his influence. So the even the mental activity, mental formations can happen because of someone else's influence. So therefore Buddha summarizes, so all these formations can happen because of one's initiative, one's volitional activity, or because of someone else's influence. Then another point Buddha highlight, සම්පජානෝ වාතං භික්කවේ සාය සංඛාරං අபிසංකරොන්ති යම් පච්චාස තං උප්පජ්ජති අජ්ජත්තං සුඛ දුක්ඛං. So when we are conducting these bodily activities, when we are conducting these verbal activities, when we are conducting these mental activities, probably we may know about it. We may be aware of it. Consciously we are doing it. But the interesting thing is there are unconscious bodily activities, verbal activities and mental activities, where there is no intention involved and they are kind of involuntary activities. Asampajano vatam bhikkave kaya sankharam abhisankharanti. So without any clear comprehension, there are bodily activities. Without our much clear comprehension, there are verbal activities, there are mental activities. So that means this subject is in a way somewhat complicated, where our bodily activities, one thing is it can, based on our ignorance, we consider this body belongs to me, this body represents myself, so I have to do something, so I am doing it. It can be a wholesome activity, it can be an unwholesome activity. Or someone else can influence it. And so you are doing that bodily activity. Or while doing it, you may be fully aware of it, you are mindful about it, you can clearly comprehend of what you are doing. On the other hand, it can happen like a habitual activity without your much intentional involvement. And it is happening, by the way. So there are various bodily activities. We don't need to interrupt them. They are happening anyway. And there may be various bodily activities where significant past habits are influenced. And they are also happening. So likewise, so this sampajana and asampajana, with clear comprehension and without clear comprehension. It's another way of categorizing these sankharas. Now, interesting part here, Buddha summarize, is where if we are able to minimize ignorance, avijjayateva asesa viraga nirodha, so kayo na hoti. So that body, which we recognize as my body, my beautiful body, my strong body, my weak body, or my maybe feeble body. So that body may not make a significant perception in our mind because we have some understanding. We have seen through. We went through some vipassana. So as a result of that, we thoroughly understood the proper stand of this body. So now the point is, so this all that previous formations are based on avijja. Ime su bhikkave dhamme su avijja anupatita. Ignorance is basically is one fundamental cause for us to happen or act like that. Ignorance is comprised within these states. All that bodily activities, all that verbal activities and all that mental activities have ignorance as one of their root causes. But if we are able to minimize it, that means we are developing certain amount of wisdom, insights. So that means that bodily activities have to be maybe filtered out. So now we are not doing wrong bodily activities. As much as possible, we are trying to restrain ourselves. Now we are trying to do only the wholesome bodily activities. Maybe we are trying only to do a selected amount of wholesome activities. There are many wholesome activities and they are also we are recognizing what are the most suitable, most appropriate bodily activity. So likewise, now you are very much like scrutinizing what are the bodily activities you are going to do. So the bodily activities are now fairly restrained because of the practice. Because we have seen through the insights, the real situation of this body. it doesn't belong to me. It is a conditioned phenomena. It comprises of so many bodily parts, and it is subjected to various element characteristics. And you have seen that properly, not merely by the book knowledge, but you have a certain amount of practical experience, you have done some vipassana. So likewise, the more we understand about this body, and there may be a possibility that we reduce certain amount of bodily activities. And while in meditation, even your body can become very relaxed, very calm. And while we are in the sitting posture, almost all the bodily activities, I mean the volitional bodily activities, are fairly stopped. And even if you are going to certain very deep states of samadhi, even the most fundamental bodily activity can be stopped. That is the breathing. It is mentioned that if one is attained to the fourth jhana, then there is this, even the fundamental bodily activity, the breathing process can be stopped. But that is not the goal anyway. The idea is, even that can be done. And how about the verbal activities? Now, while we are speaking, so we are now developing mindfulness. We are responsible of what we are talking. So we are mindful of what we are talking. We are restraining our talk. So we are trying only to involve with the wholesome speech, abandoning the unwholesome speech. Now, as we continue our practice, so there are, even the inner chatter has stopped. So that means vitakka vichara can be stopped. So fairly a very calm, relaxed, silent mind can be achieved. That means one can minimize sankharas, even the verbal sankharas, verbal formations. So you can keep the mind very quiet without thinking. So thinking is what ultimately come out as words. Now there are no words, you are maybe very silent. Even the mind is silent. No comments, inner comments. So likewise, the practice leads to even restrain our speech, even very fundamental level, very basic primary level. Now, mental activities, we were continuously thinking, now a significant amount of restraint about our thinking. We are trying not to promote unwholesome thoughts. We may select only the wholesome thoughts. And later, even the wholesome thoughts, we simply practice Chittanupassana. We understand their conditioned nature and we simply allow them to pass. Now thinking even can be reduced, and ultimately there may be situations you may be experiencing very calm, relaxed, silent atmosphere in the mind, even there is no thought. So likewise, the vipassana can grow towards a different level, where bodily activities are almost stopped, verbal activities are stopped, minimized, mental activities are also minimized. Now, if we go to the kind of summary, what is Buddha mentioned as in this sutta, Yankinchi dukkhaṃ sambhoti sabbaṃ saṅkhāra paccaya. Whatever suffering originates is all because of conditioned volitional activities. Saṅkhāraṇaṃ nirodhena natthi dukkhassa sambhava. If we are able to cease all volitional activities, then there is no origination of suffering. Etamādīnavaṃ ñattva dukkhaṃ saṅkhāra paccaya. By knowing this disadvantage or knowing this danger that suffering happens or suffering is conditioned because of the volitional activities, so you are beware of that. Sabba sankhara samatha. Now Buddha puts the term sabba sankhara samatha. Now you need to still the formations by stilling all different kinds of volitional activities. So that means the bodily activities have to be stilled. Verbal activities are to be stilled. Mental activities are to be stilled. So you can't simply do it by mere determination. You can try to some extent using the samatha practice, But here the idea is the very root cause of the bodily formations, verbal formations, mental formations is the ignorance. So that ignorance has to be minimized. Ignorance has to be abandoned. The more wisdom one has, so he has the capacity to still all formations. So stilling of all formations is a synonym for Nibbana. Sabba Sankhara Samutu is a synonym for Nibbana, where during such state, so your body is very relaxed, calm, no bodily activities, and words are stopped, so no inner chatter, you are in complete silence, and even very subtle level of mental activities are not functioning, but you are fully aware. So that's another interesting part. It doesn't mean that you are dead. It doesn't mean that you are not functioning. It doesn't mean that you are sleeping or you are unconscious. One is fully conscious, but the wisdom takes care of minimizing the formations. Maybe a sound happened, but you are not fabricating it. You simply allow it to go. Maybe a form happened, or you see a form, a sight, but the mind remains calm without getting tangled. Maybe a smell happened, but you don't want to comment. Smell has now disappeared. You remain calm. Maybe a taste happened. You have tasted it or you recognize it, but no mental formations, no thoughts, maybe no verbal activities, no defilements. That taste disappeared. Maybe a tangible happen, kind of sensation happen. You recognize it and it disappeared because you didn't fabricate on top of it. And maybe a thought happened, but even that thought simply disappeared because you didn't add to it. So likewise, now that function of the sankharas, so the function of the sankharas, we learn that the Buddha mentioned in the Kajjaniya Sutta, where sankatang abhisankharanti. Sankatang abhisankharanti. So the construct or the condition is further constructed. So that further constructing part is fairly stopped. Sankatas are happening all every time the different kinds of condition phenomena may be arising and passing, but we are not adding to it. We are not participating into that picture. We are not trying to manipulate it. We are not trying to adding to it. So likewise, we simply keep ourselves back. We take the back seat and simply allow things to happen. Let it go. So therefore, Buddha highlights Sabba Sankhara Samata Sanyanam Uparodhana. And in order to implement this, you need to minimize the perceptions as well. You need to abandon the perceptions as well. So that means that your mind has to be kept fairly clean without corrupting it, without too much spoiling it. The perceptions are fairly trying to condition the mind or to occupy the mind, but rather you like to keep the mind more spacious, more open, without being constricted. Evaṁ dukkha khayo hoti etaṁ nyatvā yathā tathāṁ. So as a result of that, Buddha say, okay, now the suffering is minimizing. So the mind may experience peace, calmness, relax, kind of relaxation, because mental activities are minimized. So you are not manipulating things. You are in a cool state. Sammaddasa vedaguno sammadanyaya pandita. So seeing this truly, seeing this procedure properly and has this knowledge, so that wise person, abhibhuya mara sanyoga. So he basically overcome the yoke of mara. Now the mara can't deceive him. Na gacchanti punabhavanti. So he may not come back to the rebirth, a renewed existence, because he understood it. So he understood the function of the sankharas, and he understood what a futile task it is. So much of the suffering is I created because of my own ignorance. That ignorance is promoting more sankharas, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam, nama rupam, all that suffering is now being promoted. How about minimizing the ignorance? So once the ignorance is minimized, so one may experience calmness, one may experience peacefulness, one may experience stillness, because the formations are reduced. Formations are maybe almost ultimately stopped. Sabba sankhara samatu, stilling of all formations. So you are not doing any preparations, you are not doing any fabrications, constructions, but remain fully calm, remain fully aware, not sleeping, not drowsy, fully aware. That's a very, very interesting state that we can even sort of ponder about it. So how a mind can be fully aware without participating into any fabrication? So that basically summarizes this final goal or the duad that Buddha explained in this Dvaitanupassana Sutta. So if there are any kind of suffering which is available right now, or we experience past, going to experience in the future, that is because of the sankharas, that is because of the fabrications, that is because of the formations. Now, having understood that, so you prepare or you develop wisdom, so that the task of that wisdom is to minimize the sankharas, minimize formations, and ultimately you experience the peacefulness. So that is more into the supramundane side. Sankharanantveva asesa viraga nirodha. So all the sankharas are now fading away. They have almost stilled. Now you are experiencing the supramundane side. So that is the second contemplation. So it basically promotes calming, basically promotes cooling down, reducing wholesome as well as unwholesome bodily activities, wholesome, unwholesome verbal activities, wholesome, unwholesome mental activities. Now the mind remains at a different level. It's a supramundane level, we can say. So because not only the unwholesome formations, even the wholesome formations are conditioned. So conditioned phenomena can't provide a lasting happiness. So having understood that, one still all formations, minimize all formations, allow formations to fade away, and one remains calm, quiet, still, experiencing the stilling of all formations, where one is getting closer to Nibbana. Well, ultimately one becomes experiencing Nibbana. So, okay, with that I like to conclude today's this sutta teaching part. And now if you have any question, you can raise your hand. Priyanka, you have any questions received? Written questions?
No, Bhante, I didn't get it.
Okay, fine. So all are experiencing stilling of all formations. So no questions. Anyway, if there is no more questions, actually you can think about today's discussion, the sutta teaching, and maybe you can contemplate about it, you can minimize your suffering. Anyway, someone has raised their hand. Sam, you can ask your question.
Bhante, thank you for the Dhamma sermon today. One question I have is, I understand Kaya Sankara Yoga description and also Chitta Sankara, but Vachi Sankara is kind of difficult because you describe that as Vitakka and Vichara, which is applied mind and sustained mind. So that is mind related. So why is that categorized under Vachi Sankara? It's mind related, but why is it categorized as Vachi Sankara?
Yeah. So this Vachi Sankara at that level, as far as I understand, we can't talk without the involvement of the mind.
That's correct, yes.
There's a very significant involvement coming from the mind, so that very basic mind's involvement comes through vitakka and vichara. So if we want to talk about a particular subject, so we have to put our attention to that and we have to little think about it. So this happens very quickly, that's why we can't notice it. When we are purposely doing it, we can notice our attention, how we are, say you want to prepare a speech. Now you are gathering information and you are putting your attention to different sections, different topics, different titles. And now you are maybe summarizing it. Now you prepare your speech. And during your speech, okay, it's a matter of elaborating all that topics, all that subtopics, giving further explanations. So that is how we speak. So basically something like that happens very quickly within our mind. Even when we are quickly talking, some very fundamental vitakka and vichara, applied mind and sustained attention, happens inside the mind. So that is, without it we can't talk. So that may be the reason why when we are talking about the Vachi Sankara, the verbal activities, so vitakka and vichara, applied mind and the sustained attention, is recognized as the most fundamental part of it.
Fundamental part of Vachi Sankara.
Vachi Sankara, yes. So actually now you can see Vachi Sankaras are fairly minimized when we keep our mouth closed. But internal chatter happens, no? So that is also kind of talk. That is also a kind of verbalization. Now, if we want to feel complete minimization of Vachi Sankara, even that inner chatter, inner talk has to be stopped. Then only we can say, okay, even the mind is silent. But mind may go through various feelings, mind may go through various perceptions, but we are not talking about it. Now assume that you keep your body still, almost like very no volitional bodily activities. And assume that now you stop talking, and further you minimize thinking, you are able to abandon thinking, and even no thoughts are happening. Now almost like no Vachi Sankara, but still mental formations are going on. You may experience certain amount of feelings, maybe little bit of traces of emotions, maybe minor thoughts. They come and go, but you are not thinking about it. You are not going on and on about it. That means still some mental formations are still functioning. Even that has to be stopped, and it can only happen, say, in the Nirodha Samapatti or something like that, it is mentioned. So it's kind of minimization process. So all the mental formations are basically, to some extent, we have to minimize. I can't say that every time we have to attain the Nirodha Samapatti, something like that. But only at that level one would say that one is going to achieve sanya vedaita nirodha. So that means even the perceptions and the feelings are almost ceased. The other situations actually that is available, but it has, you are not fabricating on top of it. Even though feelings are there, you are not fabricating on it. Even though subtle perceptions are there, you are not fabricating on it. You are keeping the mind fairly unattached, but fully aware.
Yes. Bhante, connected, related question. Now this is, as you mentioned, this comes in Chula Vedala Sutta.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other suttas that define Vachisankara the same way?
Yes, yes. That is mentioned. I need to find it out, by the way. I'll let you know if I quickly able to find it out.
You don't have to spend time. I take your word for it. So
yeah.
The definition is the same.
Yes, yes.
Whatever the suttas we take, correct?
Yeah, there are other suttas.
Yes. Okay, thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Thank you. Therwan Sarnai.
Therwan Sarnai.
Kundini, you can unmute and talk.
Therwan Sarnai Bhante. I just wanted to make I realized that in the process of meditation, in the initial stages, you do get vitakka vichara, right?
Correct.
So
yes.
This what you're explaining is at a very advanced stage.
Thing
you
is,
know,
no.
Getting this.
Which part?
You know, like. Go ahead.
No, the thing is, we actually talked about the both levels, very fundamental, very basic level, as well as the on top of that the wholesome and unwholesome, that gross level also we discussed. It's a kind of we can't immediately come to the most fundamental level. So what we do is kind of restraining the unwholesome activities. Maybe
right.
Unwholesome bodily activities, unwholesome verbal activities, unwholesome mental activities. Now we are trying to minimize. Now only the wholesome activities now we have. Now during the meditation, say we are going to another level. So the bodily activities almost like we stopped all the volitional bodily activities. And we have stopped even the inner chatter. No thinking even. Purposeful thinking, ongoing thinking, even that is stopped. We are not speaking. So the vitakka vichara is also abandoned. Now it's a matter of recognizing what are the other mental formations available. And there, as much as possible, we start letting it happen as it is without any kind of an interruption. So when we do any kind of an interruption, that means we do some volitional participation.
Bhante, when you meditate, do you not go through these stages from vitakka vichara and then go to the advanced stages every time you sit it, or do you at once go there?
Actually,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. So at the beginning, we have to go step by step.
I see, yeah.
So,
because I have come to that stage, but I go through the steps.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have to go to that step right away as you advance, or what?
Actually,
or do you go through?
Yeah. Now, say for example, say at the beginning, so when we are practicing Anapanasati, so we may have to go through all the states, like say we are experiencing the gross breath. And later it can become more subtler, it can become more shorter, and it can later we may be even seeing the beginning, middle, end, and ultimately it completely disappear. Now, as we practice further and further, so that calming down of breath can happen very quickly, and you can achieve it within a couple of minutes even. But at the beginning it may not. You may have to go through 1 hour to experience that calming down of the breathing. So likewise, as we continue our practice, so this calming down can happen quickly, and later you can quickly jump to it.
Okay, thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Saranai.
Mahesha, you can ask your question.
Thank you. Avsarat Bhante, relating to the what you have said in the today's talk, so what I understood was during the practice of sitting and walking, so once we keep the practice and then we come to a stage where the stillness, I call it the stillness that according to the talk, the sankhara doesn't creating, would say the mind is not involved in creating sankhara and it's just stays still. So is that the stage that we say that, as you said, sankhara samatha?
Yes, yes. So that is actually here, the significant supramundane achievement is highlighted. You know that in this sutta, Buddha talks about the mundane side, where you recognize the all the activities, all the preparations, all the fabrications. So that is the mundane world. But the more and more we still them, more and more we calm down them, more and more we relax them and keep the mind very quiet, calm, peaceful. By minimizing sankharas, we are getting closer to Nibbana. So sabba sankhara samatha is a synonym for Nibbana.
Yeah, I got that point from today's talk.
So that's why even we sometimes emphasize, so during our vipassana meditation particularly, we have to give a significant emphasis on the reducing of what we call the proliferations. So that is one significant part. So papancha samane, how we can abandon mental proliferations or conceptual proliferations. So more we abandon that conceptual proliferation, one may experience more relaxed mind, quiet mind, peaceful mind, and slowly getting, that even the nippapancha is a synonym for Nibbana. Where no fabrications, no conceptual proliferations, that is also Buddha mentioned, is equal to Nibbana. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very clear to me.
Yeah.
Now, stepping on from there, now, when we, while we were on practicing the meditation, and when we come to that stillness and we stay there, when we are staying there, we can see sometimes certain, maybe some past, whatever happened, or nothing related, can't visualize or can't relate anything relating to that particular certain, I wouldn't say thoughts, like it's like some appearances comes like trying to, give you like some clues. Okay, what about this? What about that? If I try to visualize what I see, so stillness is there, and then, okay, it's nice, stay there. Can't figure out whether it's happy or sad or whatever, it's just nothing. But can see, it's like some pond would say, still water in a pond. It's not a pond, but it looks like that. And then far away, things are like coming to jut out, to be visible to me, which I then, my consciousness says, okay, something is going to come. And when I consciously get to know about it, it again disappear, and it's not appearing, it's trying to appear, but it's not appearing,
mm-hmm.
then I consciously be mindful about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then again it comes to stillness, so it keeps on like that. So that's in meditation.
Mm-hmm.
In day-to-day life, when I, you know, like, well, as you said, you know, three types of sankhara, when it comes, when it's trying to appear, then I consciously I say, that's not, I mean, then I'm practicing like sitting or walking, when I do something, well, we say I'm doing some work related to my job, and then a thought comes, and then I say, oh, it's kind of like you're going to now start proliferating on it, you're going to run with that, you're going to run your mind with that, and then it disappears. And then I try to close my eyes, or even open my eyes, have a look at, okay, what happened to my mind, where it is now. And then I feel like I must go to my stillness. So I try to see whether I can still it. Yes, it can get into that stillness, and then I stay there for a couple of minutes, but I can't stay longer. I can't stay longer as the way I do it in the meditation time. I stay still for a while, and one thing that I realize, okay, I'm in the middle of some work, so I need to get on to that. That pressure comes. One thing is that, and also the other thing is my mind is not ready to stay longer in still position.
Mm-hmm. That's why we need So that's why we need to sort of more and more train the mind how to keep the mind without fabrications. Our mind fond of doing fabrications, our mind is fond of doing preparations. So that's why it's a training. That's why Buddha's advice to Bahir, Ditte Ditta Matam Bhavisati. So when you see, keep it just it to mere seeing. Don't fabricate on top of it. Then sute sutta mattam bhavissati. So when you hear something, so don't proliferate on top of it, don't add to it, let it go, don't do any fabrications onto what you have heard. Mute muta mattam bhavissati. That means once you smell something, once you taste something, once you recognize any kind of a tangible, maybe sensation, don't add to it, don't participate into that. Simply let it go, restrain yourself. And even when a mental object appear in your mind, vinyate vinyata mattam bhavissati, so you recognize it but don't fabricate on it, don't try to mix with it, don't give any importance to it, simply let it go, allow it to naturally cease. So this is a sikkhitabbang. So evang hi vo bahya sikkhitabbang. Now Buddha mentioned, okay, now you need to train yourself. So you recognize this potential is now available with you, but you need to further it, you need to enhance it, you need to practice on it. Then only we can say, okay, I am able to be there, I am simply able to dwell there. So at the beginning we don't have that capacity, even though time to time, only for a short period we experience that, still we are not perfect in it. So the Buddha's advice to Bahir basically emphasize that we need to enhance it, we need to maximize it, so that we are able to calm down, relax, quiet, cool, and dwelling in that peaceful state. And more we are able to dwell in that peaceful state, we experience happiness. There is no person, there is no individual, there is no any kind of an ego. What we experience is the peacefulness. That's all. No more formations. So that means the peacefulness of the mind is widely available. Then one is able to, maybe in the future, one is able to quickly jump to it or simply plunge the mind onto it, because one that state has fairly registered in the mind. Quickly, one's mind can be attuned to it. But at the beginning we don't have that, because our mind is too much in a kind of actively participating, actively fabricating, manipulating, thinking, and that kind of a mood. We don't know how to stop fabrications. That sankharas are continuously promoting us to do all the fabrications, all the preparations, all the manipulations. So that's why when Buddha has fully enlightened, he made the exclamation, Visankhara gatang chittang, tanhanang kaya majjaka. So now my mind stopped all that fabrications. No more it is habitually get on to that fabrications. I have completely stopped that. Now the mind has come to a visankhara gatang chittang. It stopped these fabrications. It's a kind of a habit, that a kind of an old habit that the mind has. It can't remain calm. It can't simply keep it quiet. We always want to add our opinion. We always want to highlight ourselves. We always want to put our word. That's a kind of a craziness we have. That's what we need to understand. So why can't I remain calm? Why can't I keep the mind quiet? I don't mean that every time we have to do that. I mean, if there is a real necessity, we should be able to act. So that's why during the 45 years of the Buddha's life, he has done a huge task. So, but it is not the kind of habitual doing mode. It's not kind of a addiction for various works. But when the work or the task is assigned, and you know it is the assigned to me, then you may be doing it. But if not, you remain calm. No need to ask and do something. But if it is not your business, okay, mind your own business. Something like that.
Yes, Bhante. It's very clear. So, the way that I'm looking at it is actually that's what we have to try to do as much as we can during the time that we are awake.
Correct.
Because when we are sleeping, we can't do much.
Exactly.
But when we are awake during the daytime, we try to watch and be, you know, refrain from getting tangled with day-to-day things and try to keep the mind as much as in stillness.
Correct.
Rather than deviating from to different areas or grasping things.
Exactly.
Not easy, as I say.
Yeah.
But that's what we are practicing.
Yeah, not easy. So I feel this is the state where the mind is in the more calmness, more peacefulness, and say experience in this stillness. So ultimately, we can understand. Okay, I mean, we were in a kind of a mess. Now only I understood. Okay, I have a possibility of remaining calm. No need to get burned.
At the same time, as I heard from the Dhamma session, adjusting our lifestyle actually support a lot for that process. And you can't do it like quickly, but slowly we can incorporate spending more time on trying to be in the stillness, give some more space for that, so then we can adjust little by little the lifestyle, and that actually greatly support for the practice, I guess.
So yes.
When we change the lifestyle, that comes as a part, like we have to get away from the stuff that we did kind of traditionally, or because someone told us to do, or because I choose to do it to create my space or to be known or to be popular or whatever. So we actually have to give up them. To keep them and doing this is very contradictory in the long run. So slowly those things are going away and we don't choose them to do, we don't have a taste to do them, And that's what I realized. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
That supports a lot.
Correct, correct.
To be in the stillness.
Yeah, that's why the Samma Ajiva, right livelihood.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you very much, Sante.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
very clear, and thank you so much.
Okay, Theravan Sanai. And there's a previous person who asked the question about other references. Actually, I found one that's available in the Dutiya Kama Bhusutta in the Sanyutta Nikaya Salayatana Vagga. So I have put the link to the chat. So if you are interested, you can go through that sutta also, where the same explanation is given. Kaya Sankharo, Vachi Sankharo and Chitta Sankharo in their singular form, and that Vitakka Vichara is the Vachi Sankharo. Okay, I think if there is no more questions, I like to conclude today's sutta teaching session. And all the merits which you have accumulated, we share with all the celestial beings, we share them with all past relatives, and we share these merits with all the beings who are in need of merits. And we wish these merits help us also to attain path, fruition, nibbana. We recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya ආකාසට්ඨාච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවානාගා මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු සාසනං ආකාසට්ඨාච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවානාගා මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු දේශනං ආකාසට්ඨාච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවානාගා මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු මං පරං ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය සාදු සාදු සාදු